Hey, and welcome to Media Obscura. We're a show dedicated to watching and reviewing old and obscure movies and television. It's been exactly a year and I can still do that. Amazing. Anyway, I'm your host, Nick, and I'm joined today by my faithful co-hosts, Sierra and Raekwon.
Hey.
Hello.
We're back, guys.
It's good to be back, man.
I know. I threw a tantrum a year ago, canceled the show, and we're finally back just in time for literally the 1 year of us ending the show again.
Really?
I don't even know. That wasn't why we stopped doing the show at all. We stopped it because like life got in the way, you know. But we're back. We've got a really, really, really good episode queued up for everyone listening today. It's about the 1999 movie Wild Wild Thicka Wild Wild West by Will Smith. You asked me to open with the song, Raekwon. So
I'll take it.
I had to do it. Every time I forget Will Smith's name in this movie, the way I would remember it is the song. I'd be like, Jim West. Yeah, Desperado. No, you don't want none of this.
He's a Buffalo Soldier.
Yeah, exactly. Does he say that?
Yeah, Buffalo Soldier. Look, it's like I told you. You don't remember that part?
Oh, my God. I love Will Smith. His raps are just so delectable. They're terrible in all the right ways. But at the same time, they're like iconically so. Like Miami, that's a banger right there. Yes.
He's got a few bangers. He's got a few certified hood classics.
Yeah. With NSYNC coming back, I'm waiting for the day him and DJ Jazzy Jeff just come back, man.
I don't think anybody's pressed.
You know what? Here's the thing. They're making an I Am Legend 2. They should call it We Are Legend, and it should have DJ Jazzy Jeff and Will Smith.
DJ Jazzy Jeff subbed out for Michael B. Jordan. He's like, I think we're just going to get DJ Jazzy Jeff, actually.
Yeah, he can like spin records at zombies or something and ruin another like classic horror novel, which doesn't need a sequel. I Am Legend, it's an open and shut story. Even the horrible movie had the good sense to end unambiguously, even if it changed the ending.
Yeah, my first instinct was I really don't think that needs a second one.
If Warner Brothers is producing it, do you think they'll put like a CGI Vincent Price in the middle of it for like a multiverse scenario? They'll probably just say fuck it and put Christopher Reeve in it too.
Oh, man. But isn't the sequel already some multiverse type shit where the sequel's just continuing the story of the alternate ending, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. It's they already knew they had to change the ending to make a sequel. So it is already a multiverse story. God. Truly, Hollywood doesn't have any ideas. Anyway, going back to when they did have ideas, Wild Wild West. So before we dive into it, let's just very quickly explain what this movie is. It's an adaptation of a TV show from, I want to say, the 60s. It was directed by Barry Sonnenfeld, who also did like a bunch of other adaptations in the 90s. He directed the two Addams Family movies, all three Men in Black movies. So like he's kind of like the guy for bringing back like kitschy retro pop culture fixtures to the 90s, you know? And the movie stars Will Smith as Jim West, Desperado. No, you don't want none of this. He plays, as I just said, the Desperado Jim West. He's a federal marshal and he goes and he fights evil with his fun sidekick played by Kevin Kline, Gordon.
His fun sidekick who is like this movie kind of gives like the like buddy cop kind of thing going on, but
a little bit.
Yeah, they're like opposites, so they're like, oh, we butt heads, we don't get along because I'm the brash guy and you're the smart guy and we just don't get along. And I did think that Jim West could have been a really cool character because he's supposed to be like a runaway slave, basically. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm a runaway slave that ended up being raised by the Indians. And then I became a U.S. Marshal.
Yes. And this takes place after the Civil War. So he has this like long history that we could have dove into leading to where he is. Mm-hmm. I just want to point out something interesting. He wasn't black in the TV show, Jim West. He was actually just a white dude. More interestingly, they originally asked the white dude who played Jim West to play the president in this movie, who is a double role. It was Kevin Kline in makeup. But yeah, he was going to play the president in this, and he actually turned it down because he thought the movie was a piece of shit.
It had to feel great.
Damn, he already knew. He saw it.
Dude, he hated this movie so much. So I'm going to spoil it a little bit. This movie didn't do well. It's actually considered one of the worst movies of all time and one of the biggest box office. No, I don't know if it's like the biggest box office like failure of all time, but it's considered a failure. But he hated the movie so much that he actually went and accepted the Golden Raspberry Awards for the movie after it came out. That is how petty he is about Wild Wild West. He was just like, fuck you guys. I'm actually going to go like accept the award. As for the movie itself, not successful. Like I said, it was a bit of a box office bomb. It did something to the tune of $220 million at the box office worldwide. Mm-hmm. On a budget that was like, I want to say it was like 100. Here, wait a sec. I actually wrote it down in my notes because I was like, this is wild.
Yeah, I wrote that down too because I knew it was a box office bomb, but I didn't know that it cost so much to make as well.
It doesn't look like it.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
No, the CGI mountains, they look expensive, clearly.
Sierra and I were talking about, they were like, these looks like some fucking N64 graphics in the background.
I took a photo of them because, you know, when they were walking around in the desert and it looks so bad because it looks like they're just like super close and focused. And then the background just looks like a still picture. I had to take a picture of that because that looks so wild. Like, it was so bad.
It looked like a really bad green screen, and it looked like something I'd do in a basement as a high school student.
Yeah, kind of. Right?
Feel weirdly called out by that sentence, but thank you.
You're welcome. That's what I live for.
I'm pretty sure that scene is actually a reshoot because apparently this movie was extensively reshot. Yep. Like, they filmed it, they showed it to test audiences, and the test audiences didn't realize it was supposed to be a comedy. So they freaked out, went back and like added a bunch of humor to the movie. They also, that like ending scene where Jim West fights the three goons out of nowhere, it just devolves into like Bruce Lee's Game of Death for 5 minutes, completely reshot.
You could tell. And I was going to say, there was a line. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. I knew when I read that they did a bunch of reshoots for comedy purposes, I was like, that end scene was probably a reshoot because when he was fighting the guy with two knives in his hands.
Oh, says, my God.
What does he say? Knife to meet you or some shit like that? Or no.
No more Mr. No knife more guy. Mr.
Knife guy. Jesus Christ. Terrible. Like, what?
You could actually tell when they added dialogue to this because so many of these jokes don't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, like they literally just it's not even like Marvel humor where it's like that just happened. It's straight up just like these don't even constitute as jokes. You know what I mean? Like, I can't. The first line of dialogue in this thing was, and I wrote it down, he's a madman. Ah, unt, giant spider. Because it's a scientist being chased by a blade. And it's just like, oh my God, you actually did like comedy German accent to open your movie.
Other than that bad joke, the thing that I thought was funny and really indicative of like early 2000s, late 90s comedies is because it's just so funny. Like, I don't know. They thought it was just so hilarious. There's always going to be someone who presents or identifies as a man dressing as a woman. They hit that so many times. Like, I was like, this is not funny or anything.
It isn't the late 90s with a little bit of transphobia or homophobia. Yeah. Like that whole scene where they're like, they're talking about the buckwheat fake breast that Gordon wears in his costume. And then the conductor's like listening to them talk about like, touch my breast. It's hard. And I'm just like, yeah, this is really dating themselves there. Mm-hmm. even if the conductor, much to his credit, he kind of sells it, like his expressions, his emoting is actually pretty funny. Mm-hmm. It's just a shame that the dialogue is like middle school humor from 1999.
Yeah. You mentioned the breast, the fake breast thing. I'd be remiss if I didn't express
I know what
point.
You're going to talk about.
Salma Hayek? Is that what you thought I was going to talk about?
No, I thought of something else. But yes, please do tell us about Salma of the Hayeks.
Because I wrote down, I was like, damn, she probably only had to shoot for like 3 to 4 days or something. Because she's barely
she's like
in
not
the
in this movie.
Yeah. And then in the end, I mean, we don't have to jump around, but still, she's in the movie for like a few scenes, and it's purely just for the male gaze. Like at one point, her like ass cheeks are out when she has the pajamas on.
Yeah,
you know, like what the fuck?
But admittedly, the Freudian slip stuff afterwards was kind of funny. Like it was peevy and it was stupid, but it was pretty funny when Gordon's like, "She's a breath fresh of ass." Yeah. I mean, a breath fresh of air.
A breath of fresh ass. I wrote that down because I was like, yeah, we should make that the title of the episode if we can.
Oh my God.
Breath of fresh air.
It's just, yeah, it's so male gaze. And it's not like these people, like, it has talented people working on it. Like I said, Barry Sonnenfeld, he's kind of the guy. Like, Men in Black is it's a jam of a movie. Those two Addams Families are good. I consider Men in Black 2 a guilty pleasure, and the third one ain't half bad.
Yeah.
But it's just crazy to me that he signed up for this, and I can't imagine why.
I can't imagine why there was... Okay, so Ulysses S. Grant is a president at this point, right?
Yes.
Technology seems to have advanced so much during his time, during his presidency, because there's like a Mad Max level giant spider with like, I'm like, yo, it isn't even like Mad Max-y because they're not reusing like old parts. These are like gears and just...
They just, like, Raekwon, they literally just captured Tony Stark, threw him in a cave with a box of scraps and told him to get to work.
It's actually like a bit of like it's like some alternative history steampunk fantasy that like a middle schooler would kind of like get into. They're really into alternative history is what it feels like.
Yeah. And that's kind of the premise of the show itself. Like Wild Wild West was a show about these two federal marshals or whatever. And they're just going around fighting crime and protecting the president and the union, more or less. Right. And that whole premise is kind of tied together with like James Bond. Yeah. The show is basically trying to be James Bond in the Old West. That is the premise of Wild Wild West as a show. And it got pretty lost in the movie. They should have just done James Bond in the Old West. Like if Men in Black is a buddy cop movie, this should be James Bond, but there are two of them. Yeah, it got lost in the mix, and it's because this movie was actually in development hell for like a couple of years. I want to say it was Warner Brothers who distributed this, because whenever a movie tanks and is completely tone deaf, it usually comes from them. But they got the rights to Wild Wild West in 1992. The beginning of the decade. This came out in 99. And everybody was attached to this fucking thing at some point. Richard Donner, the director of The Goonies and Superman, he was originally going to direct Mel Gibson as Jim West in this.
Oh, geez.
And then they left to go make Maverick. And then they got the original writer for this movie, Raekwon, is our buddy Shane Black. Mm. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, Lethal Weapon, The Nice Guys.
Oh, that would have been okay.
Right? And that would have made this the buddy cop story you would have wanted.
Yeah.
He left. Next online, we had Tom Cruise come on, and he was going to be Jim West in 95-ish. And then he left to make a movie called Mission Impossible. The other the other 90s movie that's reviving a 60s property.
Hmm.
Or a 70s property, whenever Mission Impossible, 60s, I think. So all of these people left Wild Wild West, and then by 1999, they just got Sonnenfeld to do it because, like, hey, Men in Black was a hit. Get Will Smith. You know, you two liked working together.
It's kind of funny that Will Smith agreed to be a part of this movie, because this is something I knew about before looking up the trivia on this movie, but he turned down The Matrix to do this.
Yes.
It's like crazy. Yeah. That's crazy.
Very famously turned down The Matrix to be in Wild Wild. But much to his credit, again, like Men in Black came out like a year before he signed up for this movie. Him and Sonnenfeld were tight. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, Yeah.
I get it. But yeah, he is publicly he apologized to the original actor of Jim West for this movie since. And like, yeah, he just hates this movie with a passion. Also worth mentioning, before Kevin Kline came on board, guess who was going to play none other than Gordon or whatever his name is. His name isn't just Gordon. It's actually Artemis Gordon. It was George Clooney. George Clooney. They were going to get the Clunes Magoon up in this originally.
That probably would have made this, like, given even like the way the movie is currently, if it was Will Smith and George Clooney, it might have been a little bit more watchable, I think.
Yeah. There were other people on the shortlist too, Matthew McConaughey and Johnny Depp. And you're just like, oh my God, this is crazy. This actually could have, like, and it's not nothing against Kevin Kline because he's not a bad actor by any stretch. He's actually quite good in this movie with the material, but like, it's kind of nuts. Also, the other thing that shot this movie in the foot is the producer. Besides Barry Sonnenfeld, it was a man named John Peters, which is, if anyone knows who John Peters is, Wild Wild West has, okay. For those who don't know who he is, I'm going to describe his most obvious addition to this movie, and you're all going to know who he is. Because I'm sure, Sierra, you don't know him just by the name. Raekwon, you don't, right?
No.
Okay. This movie's climax is a battle against a giant mechanical spider. And John Peters is the reason there's a giant spider in this movie, because in the 90s, this fucking guy, for whatever reason, really wanted a spider in everything he worked on. He famously was the producer for the canceled fifth Superman movie, Superman Lives. And among wanting Nicolas Cage in the picture and not wanting to put him in a Superman suit, he's the reason why Nick Cage would have fought a giant spider in that thing.
Well, I think that the spider thing for Loveless, the villain in this movie, he has like a spider obsession, right?
Yep.
But that doesn't really land because the only time that you really know anything of like his obsession with spiders is in the beginning. He sends a cake to the president, right? And when you lift the lid of it.
No, they tease it. They tease it a few times.
Besides the cake time, when do they tease it?
Raekwon, it's the first line of the movie. Ah, und giant the spider.
On the thingy. Yeah. But
which might be the title for the episode.
What? Giant spider?
Giant spider. There's also his... So, okay. Loveless, for those who don't know this movie well, Loveless is the villain. He is this man who lost his lower extremities during the Civil War. He was a general. And he has formed his own city somewhere in the Utah desert. And built a giant mechanical spider there. He is flanked at all times by a harem of women in lingerie. And he wants to create the Loveless Union, which is just the Confederate flag, but it's gray and it has a spider in the center of it. That's the other tell for the spider. His flag literally has one on it. And his final form in the movie, it turns out that he isn't just a man in a wheelchair. He has spider legs that he just didn't use for the whole movie. He just had them.
Yeah, very strange. But yeah. I will say, okay, so we were talking about reshoots and them inserting comedy into it. In the beginning, when Loveless and Jim West talk for the first time, they kind of have this back and forth where they're just going in on, like, he's just saying, like, racist jokes. And he's like straight up calling him a coon and everything. And he's just like making fun of him not having legs.
Like that he stops just shy of the hard R. It's like very tense because you're like, you're watching this and a part of you is like, it's the 1800s. It's going to happen. And then you're like, well, will it though? This came out in the 90s. And then you're like, well, it came out in the 90s. So it might actually happen. Right, So actually captivating for all the wrong reasons. But yeah, this movie is just loaded with weird characters, too. Like there was a Bloodbath McGrath. Was it McGrath or McGrath?
It's McGrath, I believe. Yeah, Bloodbath McGrath. And I actually wrote a note about him. I kind of bought him being more of like the villain than Loveless at first, at least in the beginning, because the first like, I don't know, 20 minutes of the movie, I thought it was going pretty well. It seemed it was like funny enough and like campy on purpose, you know, super campy, decent, like fighting. And I was like, okay, this is all right. Like, I mean, I've seen it before. So I was like entertained, and then it just slowly just got just more like lame to me. Like it just kind of stalled out 20 minutes after. And when McGrath died, I was like, damn, like who is, I get that Lovelace is the villain, but I don't really buy him as much. He's like a racist, whatever.
He's a crazy like, racist guy in a wheelchair. Like,
yeah. And McGrath looked scarier. His design, I think his character design or whatever was like better. That part where he empties his little thing.
Oh, with yeah.
I was expecting that to happen because I had seen it and I remembered like that scene's coming up, but it still grossed me out. And I was like, see, that's good. Like, villain shit right now. I'm grossed out by him and everything.
At the very least, I would have made him the heavy, right? Because like going back to the James Bond model, which is what this movie should have just like stripped for parts. In a James Bond movie, you have the villain who's the guy in the chair who turns around. Ah, Mr. Bond, I've been expecting you. Mm-hmm. And then you always have like Odd Job or the henchman. You know what I mean? Who's like this guy with weird powers or like not powers, but like a weird quirk. Oddball's hat has a blade in it, stuff like that. We don't have that. It's just not like Bloodbath McGrath was clearly supposed to be that, but then he dies halfway through the movie. Not even halfway through the movie, like maybe like right in the first to second act, he died.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Also, Sierra, neither of us picked it up while we were watching it, but do you know who played Bloodbath McGrath?
I have no idea.
Ted Levine, Leland Stottlemyre from Monk. Was Bloodbath McGrath in a lot of makeup.
I can see it now, but like, yeah, I had no idea. Also, random tangent, but did you notice one scene when Bloodbath McGrath was on the ground for whatever reason, and there's like a small dog, it got like right near his little ear that's like a speaker, and I'm just like, if this is an RCA Victor callback, then I don't know what is. Like the logo.
Oh my God, that's so perfect. That had to have been intentional, like, right?
Yeah, did you notice that? Because like,
I didn't pick it up, but no. As soon as you were like RCA, I'm like, you mean the,
Yeah, for anyone that doesn't know that, it's a dog like kind of like peering into a speaker, the whole his master's voice thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And oddly enough, it's the old fashioned speaker for everyone, because like I'm sure not many people know what turn of the century speakers looked like. They look like the end of a tuba sticking out of a phonograph, which is what his ear is. He apparently lost his ear maybe during the Civil War and he had a phonograph sticking out of it. The one thing I kept saying, Sierra and I said it at the same time too last night, which was so funny. I just kept waiting for a record to start playing. Like inappropriate, like Scott Joplin's The Entertainer just starts playing during his death scene. He's like talking to Jim. He's like, I'm sorry. I found the error in my ways, Jim. And then in the background, you just hear do, 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 do. Oh, shit. I'm sorry, Jim. One second.
I just kept expecting him to take off his hat and have like a little turntable in there. But when he did and there was no turntable, I was sorely disappointed.
The top of his skull's been shaved off and there's just a record player.
Yeah, like that. If there's a reason I don't recommend this film, that is solely because of that reason.
Jim, I see the error in my ways. Man indeed was created equal and should remain in the union. Do, 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 do. God damn it. They have a soldier's funeral for Bloodbath because he's been redeemed. He's 6 feet underground and Gordon's just like, my word, do you hear that? God damn it. Jim leaves. The after credits scene plays and it's just Bloodbath's hand punching out of the grave to the music again.
He's like Jason. He's rising.
He's Jason. He just keeps surviving. They make a Wild Wild West sequel called Bloodbath Takes New York.
Bloodbath goes down. So,
a reality show.
Yeah. Was that Sierra?
I said, like, just Bloodbath goes to hell. Bloodbath goes to outer space.
Yeah. It's Freddy versus Bloodbath. Oh, my God. But it's such a shame because he was so underused. And then there was another, not heavy, but there was another Bond girl, for lack of a better term, like another like femme fatale, the Asian woman who her name was East. It was Jim West and May East, I think, or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, is she going to be like the intrigue who's like either going to be an inside agent or they're going to talk her into, nope, she's dead. They put her in the movie for an ass shot and then they killed her.
Seems like, well, they don't kill Salma Hayek in this, but it's the same type of deal. She's not really in it. And then the thing that really just was like grinding my gears about her character being in it. She, I don't really buy, I didn't really get why they trusted her. I mean, I get it. They're like, cause she has like information and she was like giving it to them piece by piece. And because she's a beautiful woman, they're kind of like just letting it go. But they are U.S. Marshals and they're like on this mission to save the president. This person could be like anybody, like legit. And she lied to them mad times throughout the movie. She's like, oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Was like her old. She just keeps saying, I haven't been entirely truthful with you. Like,
what the hell?
But Raekwon, Gordon is lonely as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying this to be like unwoke or like offensive or anything, but my guy was using buckwheat for fake boobs.
Mm.
He is lonely. He has been without the touch. He has been maidenless for a bit too long, if you know what I mean. So also, what was with that twist where, okay, so when we're introduced to Gordon in this movie, he's in straight up drag at a bar. Mm-hmm. And he's pretending to be a woman of the night. Okay, whatever, you know. So he's doing that. And then he's like seemingly going to wear the same disguise again when they meet Loveless. And Will Smith thinks he's going to wear the same costume because there was just that whole like boob scene where they were like talking about what you fill a fake boob with.
Yeah.
And then he goes dressed like fucking Davy Crockett instead.
Yeah.
Like, and, but even worse, he's very specifically talking to a woman who looks like the costume he had.
Mm-hmm.
So what was up with that? It was literally just there to have a hanging scene. They were like, it's the 1800s. We're by contract. We have to put a near lynching scene in here.
Also, the thing about that scene that I just thought was just weird or whatever. I get that he's supposed to be, I don't know. They weren't really undercover when they first met. Like he was, Gordon.
They were investigating separate crimes, but the same crime at the same time without realizing it.
But then when that whole thing went down, also he knew that he was. Okay, wait. let me just get this together in my head. Cause this is what was like weird about it.
For those who can't see, Raekwon's like about to bust out a yellow fucking legal pad to like hash this out. Oh, he did it.
Gordon. So Gordon is the one that says, so Will Smith mistakes Gordon, this prostitute for Gordon. And he ends
up. She isn't a prostitute. She's just a guest at the party.
Okay. A guest at the party. And he ends up like beating on her breasts, like doing like tapping her breasts because he thinks it's Gordon.
Yeah.
And because of that, she slaps him. And Gordon is the one that's like, hang him. And it is a faulty rope. Like, I get that. But like,
yeah, it's like a rubber rope. It's elastic of some kind. Yeah.
And it seemed like he was legitimately afraid of being hung. Right. But does his like U.S. Marshal title not hold any weight? You're like, hey, guys, you can't hang me. I'm completely a U.S. Marshal. I don't care that I'm freed now.
I don't know why he didn't say that. But in his defense, he was in the deep South with a bunch of former Confederates. I don't think they would have been like, oh, yeah, we on the same team. All right.
Yeah, right.
Go on now. Y'all come back. You hear?
Yeah.
It wouldn't have mattered.
It wouldn't have mattered. They would have been like, we have all the more reason to kill you now, dude.
And he was also trying to smooth talk his way out.
Yeah, that was the best part. Like, that scene was actually funny where he's like, where I'm from, drums are a form of communication. All I was really saying was, how you doing? How's your mama?
Yeah, right. The one guy yelled out, he's like, where I'm from? And the guy's like, Georgia? He's like, Africa.
Africa.
Honestly, though, like, that if he's just like, yeah, guys, I'm working with the government. Like, we all know how much Republicans hate the government.
Yeah. One of them in the back just fucking screams, Bidenomics, get him! He fucking runs.
They, like, it's the South in the 1800s. They would have been like, all right, let's do it quicker. It's fine.
Yeah. Do we even want to hang him? We're Confederates. We should. Some of us should have guns. Like, Lovelace just shows up on a rascal out of nowhere with like a shotgun. Anyway, yeah, that whole sequence was strange. Also, why was Rita, Salma Hayek's character, just in a cage? She was just in a cage.
Was that like a sex thing? Was that what that was? Like, for real.
Yeah, I was thinking that has to be like a kink thing or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the best part about it was like Gordon walked into the room she was in and it was just empty. There was literally just like a giant bird cage in the center with Salma Hayek in it. And I'm really left wondering, like, what about this? Like, why? You know? Also, if Lovelace was so into Salma Hayek, which was so weird, he kidnapped Salma Hayek halfway through the movie. Because he was just like, well, we could find a spot for you. And then, like, he dresses her up like his wife almost by the end of it. Did you see what she was wearing?
Yeah.
I don't remember what she
had. Spider boobs.
Yeah, she was wearing this, like, old 1800s regalia dress. But it had, like, the spider insignia on the center. Mm-hmm. What I'm getting from this is that this, like, this producer we were talking about earlier is just... he has the weirdest hard-on for spiders. That's okay. What I'm getting from it.
Also, hear me out. You know how there's like a whole generation of people that have like a fetish for slave Leia?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like I am so surprised that there's not just people our age being like, so do you want to be Salma Hayek in a cage?
That was actually the original lyrics to Mr. Brightside. Selma Hayek's coming out of a cage and it's feeling just fine.
Gotta go down. Okay, let's just end that
gotta,
there.
Gotta go down to Texas. My husband's been kidnapped. I mean, my father. That was the weirdest part.
Yeah, oh, I didn't mean Texas, but...
Well, she's from Texas, so I added that, Sierra.
I know. I remember explaining my joke. I'm gonna eat. No, like, it's fine.
Sierra's just like, I'm just gonna eat a protein bar.
Why a protein bar?
I don't know. I bought some for you earlier this week.
They're not here yet. Okay, back to what you're doing. Okay.
Yes, but back to but like, it was just weird. She didn't need to be in this movie. And one of my notes, Raekwon, I was so happy you called it out because I literally wrote, you should probably have, or they should have, not you specifically, unless you are Barry Sonnenfeld. Can you just tug on your face in case it's a Scooby-Doo mask? Son of a bitch, it is. pulls it off. Mike! Aha, you thought that I passed away, Nick. I saw you crying at my funeral, you pussy. Anyway. I just made my Quan joke. But... no, one of my notes was they should have cut Salma Hayek from this, and they should have put just like... an actual scene where Gordon and Jim actually get along. There is a scene where they get along. It's not even that they get along so much as Gordon feels bad for him because he's like, why do you know so much about living in the desert? And Jim's like, oh, I was a former slave because 1800s, of course. And then I lived with a bunch of Native Americans. Instead of that, we should have actually had them becoming friends, you know?
Because even in perhaps, the end, they're not
perhaps
like cool.
Them learning how to dance together over Bloodbath McGrath's corpse to the entertainer. All right. So what do you want to do here, Jim, is you want to put your hand right here and you put your other hand here and you lead and I'll follow. And then in the background, you just have do, 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 bum, bum. But the bum, bum part is actually somebody hitting like a metal can. So it sounds like someone's spitting into a can, like they're spitting tobacco.
They did have a semi-cute scene, though. Like with the magnetic collars where they were like attracted to each other. And okay, for anyone that's watched JoJo's, it reminds me of that scene.
Well played.
Where there's like a stand user that magnetizes people and it looks like very inappropriate. So same gist here. Will Smith's near his crotch. I mean, it's a day. It's a normal day. But I thought that was kind of a cute bonding scene.
Not in the right way, though, right? Like, not in the way that advances them as characters, makes them make sense.
Oh, like, no, it's definitely not anything good. But it was kind of throwing a bone a little bit.
Sure.
Kind of.
I could see that. I could see that a little bit. I think also it is worth mentioning that the thing about these two characters that's weird is for people who've seen the TV show, it had to have been jarring, which I can't imagine many people have. It came out like almost 40 years after the TV show. But like in the show, Jim and Artemis Gordon are friends. They're like, they're literally as close as like Jean-Luc Picard and Riker are in Star Trek The Next Generation. They're like this. They're inseparable. So why do they hate each other here? If you're not going to actually do anything with it, why change it? You know, it struck me as weird, especially because like they're borderline rivals in this story. And that stuff is fun, but it doesn't go anywhere. Like there's a fun scene when they get on the boat, not the boat, they get on the train and they're leaving Washington, D.C. And there's this whole thing where Artemis has his bike with nitrous on the back. So it's basically a car and or a motorcycle. And like he leaves without he leaves without Jim, and Jim has to chase him on his horse. That stuff's really fun. We get the scene where Jim is hung out of the back of the train from the pool table by like this device he's rigged into the train. Really cool stuff. Why doesn't that like we get a bit more of it, but it's not that good. You know what I mean? There isn't that much of it. And it's like, OK, but this is the whole appeal of the movie. It's the weird gadgets. I was literally paying attention because I liked all of the weird gizmos.
The go-go gadget-esque-ness of it all.
The Sierra said gadget, the same thing.
Really? The first gadget was the breast boxing glove. You remember that?
Yeah.
That was actually, I thought that was kind of funny when the one guy was trying to proposition Gordon, and he was like, all right, you drive a hard bargain, 50 cents. And she's like, he's like, no, I'm not interested. He's like, well, you got to be interested. You're a whore. And he just does the,
oh my God,
like, oh, I'm not a whore.
I love that because he drops the feminine voice he was putting where he was like, oh no, I don't know. And then he turns around, look, bub, I may be a whore, but you know? Yeah, that was great. I loved the scene where Loveless is chasing the, I don't even know what to call them, Jim and Gordon, like when he's chasing them on the train tracks and Jim like goes onto the table and he flips it over to so that he can try to hijack their train back. Mm-hmm. That whole sequence was like, besides the fact that it didn't make sense, because why does the table suddenly work differently than it did the first time we saw it? It was pretty good. That was a pretty good scene. You know, it's exactly what I want. Swashbuckling music, crazy gadgets, and people fighting. Mm-hmm. And the movie just didn't have anywhere near enough of that.
I feel like we neglected to mention Loveless's strange fixation with his mother that was referenced in one part, because he's like, that's my mother's name. And he's like, all right, come
with
me.
Wasn't Loveless. That was Bloodbath.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes. Sorry.
Yeah.
Name mixed up.
Yeah. That's right. Do you want to tell it or do you want me to?
You can. I've already mixed up.
Well, it's okay. Like, so Bloodbath McGrath in the opening of the movie, this is the tell. So whenever you have like the henchman or the villain, you always need to show that he's like a shithead or something really quickly, right? Especially when they have like a cool design. Not that he really had a cool design, but he's picking prostitutes at the beginning of the movie. And he picks Gordon, who's in disguise as this redheaded woman. And he's like, what's your name, toots? And Gordon's sort of like, Mary? He's like, that's my mother's name. And Sierra and I were both like, why is he picking her? Why? Who's turned on by that?
Okay, this reminds me of that scene in Friends when, like, I think it was an earlier season of Friends when Ross and Chandler were talking about how their girlfriends, like, tell each other everything and things like that. And he's just like, maybe we should try that. And Chandler's like, so, are you ever in the middle of something and then, you know, your mom just pops in your head and you won't leave? And you can't
stop.
That
is exactly what it is.
You have to keep
going. I can't. It's so weird, though, because Bloodbath, this is how they tell us that Bloodbath McGrath is a bad guy. They don't just tell us his name, you know? Like, when I hear Bloodbath McGrath, the butcher of Bakersfield, I don't think he probably goes to church on Sunday, right? He helps underprivileged kids. He's in the Big Brother program. Like, no, he's Bloodbath McGrath, the butcher of Baker Street, which is the hardest fucking name. Like, so much is going on in that name. It's one or the other. Is he the butcher of Bakersfield or is he Bloodbath McGrath? Personally, I'd call him the entertainer, but just me. Also, I feel like, okay, can we just talk about really quick? Would people be terrified by Bloodbath McGrath in real life, or would they think he's kind of cool at parties? Like, would he be the jukebox? There's a name, the jukebox. No, it works on multiple levels, guys. Like, seriously, hear me out on this. He's the jukebox because it obviously phonograph here, but he's evading the law and nobody can box him in and catch him. He keeps juking them. He is the jukebox.
Jesus.
You know, whenever Los Federales pulls up on whatever saloon he's in, he just tips his head. He's like, well, ba-dee-ba-dee, that's all, folks. And then he fucking smacks his ear. Music starts playing. He bolts out of there.
Does he have to empty his fucking his little ear thingy that's full of earwax before?
Yeah, he screams go, go, gadget, oil slick, and he just turns his ear down. And everyone's sliding all over the place. Wild Wild West broke me on some level. I loved this movie as a kid. I still have the VHS behind me, but this was this was a mess. This movie was a mess.
Shout out. Got to make a shout out to the costume designer. I know we talked about that a little bit with Bloodbath or whatever, but in the beginning, to go backwards, when Jim comes across, I guess those are McGrath's boys, I think he said, that end up.
Yeah.
The one thing that I don't know if this was like already a thing back in the 1800s, but he had on a crop top suit jacket, like it, with that was his not like a full.
Thing. I assure you, that was saying. Not a like, thing back then.
It was definitely just for the Will Smith is like shirtless, like the cowboy look, and his shit is like
in his contract
cropped. Yeah, right. He's like, I need to have 80% of my abs showing at all times. And
just like the parachute pants in Men in Black, he specifically asked for it.
Yeah, that's that. I saw that and I was like, okay, that's like a kind of a cool look. That's like making me want to do like Jim West for my Halloween costume. But that was for sure nobody not a thing.
Yeah.
I'm saying, yeah, no one would get that. I'd have to like post it and have that.
You know what's funny though? This movie opened in June. It opened on June 30th, 1999. It stayed in theaters till like October 10th. So people might have gotten it, but at the same time, it was kind of a box office bomb. Mm-hmm. Which, another weird thing, box office bomb staying in theaters for 4 months.
Yeah. It had Will Smith, I think the star power maybe. They even tried to give it a chance.
It was the sunk cost fallacy where they were like, we spent all of this money. We have to keep it in theaters.
Yeah. The budget. I don't know if we said what the budget was before, but it was like upwards of like $170 million.
It was $170 million and adjusted for inflation. That is like $400 million. That is Avengers money. They spent Avengers money on this thing.
And it only made like $100 million in the US and it cleared over. You said it cleared over like $220 million. Globally.
Yeah, worldwide.
But that's just insane. Like, I don't know if, I wonder what happened. Maybe people just, I wonder if there was like interest in the movie initially, and then people saw it was like, damn, this shit sucks. And like, it just didn't do well after that, or did no one like even care about it when it was coming out?
I think it was a mix of the IP wasn't recognizable enough, the premise wasn't obvious enough. Like, Men in Black is just ambiguous enough that it makes you curious about what the movie is actually about. Wild Wild West kind of says it all, but it also says nothing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's a Western. Fuck Westerns. It's the 90s. Nobody wants Westerns anymore. You know, it's a shame because like the premise has promise.
Yeah.
It just didn't work. Maybe it was Will Smith fatigue. Independence Day was out. You know, Men in Black was out already. Yeah. So like, it's kind of hard to tell. Also, the movie was a piece of shit. So I enjoyed it for what it's worth. This is a guilty pleasure movie if ever there was one for me, but it's a piece of shit. Like, let's not mince our words.
This is a childhood movie for me. I mean, for all of us, I guess. But the Wait, Sierra, did you watch Wild Wild West before now?
Yeah, I did.
I remember like really enjoying it when I was younger, but I enjoyed everything having to do with Will Smith when I was young. But I knew that revisiting this movie, having like known that he turned down Matrix for this, and he's like one of the biggest regrets of his career. He's like said that publicly, and I knew that revisiting it would be like, damn, this is probably not going to be great. But I didn't expect there to be so much like confusion and with the like the not necessarily with the plot, but just like why things were happening the way that they were. Because what was the last thing that we even were talking about? We Salma Hayek's on the train. They're going to meet up with they're trying to intercept like this big plan that they have or whatever.
And yeah, Lovelace's motivation is that he's so jilted over the Confederacy crumbling that he wants to hold the U.S. hostage and sell most of it back to the countries that originally owned it. So the 13 colonies go back to England, all of original Louisiana. So like Louisiana through Mimal, through like the whole like stretch, mm-hmm. goes back to France. Florida goes back to Spain. Mexico gets the rest of it. And then he gets what he called a piece to retire on, which is like Washington and the adjoining states. So they're trying to intercept that.
All the while, they're trying to rescue the president, too, because Lovelace mm-hmm. kidnaps the president as well.
Which made no sense. Yeah. How did nobody see the spider coming? They were literally at the end of like the Transcontinental Railroad or whatever it's called. That's what it's called, isn't it?
I think so.
Something like that. They're like at the opening of this railroad. They're literally putting in the last bolt to hold it together. And nobody sees the giant, several hundred feet, Godzilla-sized mechanical spider crawling towards them in an open desert. It's like, it makes no sense. It literally is the Monty Python and the Holy Grail scene where the guy's running from the distance and it cuts back to the two French guys at the gate. And then it cuts back to the guy far away and then back and back and back and back. And then he just comes up and stabs everybody.
And the giant spider, I have my opinions about the giant freaking spider, giant mechanical spider thing. It's like, are we really supposed to? Okay, so I get that this is, I feel like the way that, Sierra, how did you describe that? You said a steampunk Western or something like of that nature.
Yeah, I said it seemed like an alternative history steampunk Western.
That's like the perfect way to describe it, but it doesn't seem like that up until like for me, the giant spider when I saw it again, I was like, damn, like everything up until now seemed kind of like just campy. It's like, oh, they got gadgets and shit like that. But then you see that and it's like, yo, they just took it up like 12 notches with that.
Honestly, as soon as Gordon like pulled down his like those types of glasses that you typically see in steampunk things, I'm just like, no, I know.
Oh, the bifocals. Yeah. Another bifocals. The aviation ones. Mm-hmm. For me, the tip off was when there was just a straight up fucking tank in the 1800s. Wait a minute. This is a case of too many cooks in the kitchen because, like, that is your centerpiece thing. Lovelace doesn't need the giant spider, he just needs like six tanks.
Yeah.
That's it. You know what I mean? Over. Yeah. It's like an Iron Man when, the Ten Rings guy who kidnapped Tony Stark is like, a man with a dozen of these iron suits could rule all of Asia. It's like, yeah, you don't need the big fancy one. You just need like the little rickshaw janky one to do it, you know?
Now I have many cooks stuck in my head.
Too many cooks. But that's exactly what it is. Cooks. It's like, there's this tank. Lovelace kills all of McGrath's men with this tank. And we find out that there's this town called New Liberty where Will Smith's parents were. And it was killed. Everyone was killed there by a tank also. Everything is leading to a tank until Spider. Literally, until Spider. They get to Lovelace's town and with zero indication that there's a spider, there is indication because Lovelace has been kidnapping scientists and one of them mentions hydraulics so it can move, explosives, you know, like stuff like that. But that can all apply to a tank still.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's like a false Chekhov's gun, because they literally get to Lovelace's town, look over, and when we should have seen probably a dozen tanks, we just saw a giant spider.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I didn't even think, I don't know, maybe I just wasn't paying attention, but all of the talk about the scientists and shit like that, like,
yep.
You don't even have to say tank. You could just say that we just, as a viewer, I just assumed that he got all these scientists to keep making the weapon, the tank or the Gatling gun thing, the tank thing. I was like, okay, well, he got all the scientists just to like form, yeah. just to make weapons or whatever.
Just not R&D.
Not a giant fucking mechanical spider. Like, I didn't think that was going to be the thing. And it
here's
didn't
the
really
thing
make
too.
Sense when I saw it.
The spider is so uneconomical. That's not a word, but you know what I mean? It doesn't make mm-hmm. sense as a weapon. Oh no, yeah. He has a giant spider. They killed him. Mm-hmm. All they had to do was get higher than the spider and kill him, you know?
And they justified that by the soft moment that they had when they're like, oh, we're becoming friends, when he tells him that a wasp like kills a spider and lays eggs inside of it.
Biggest Chekhov's gun if you've ever seen one. It's just a close up of a fucking tarantula out of nowhere. Like, they were like, yo, like literally Will Smith at one point grabbed the camera and pulled it to his face. And he's like, pay attention to this. Damn. Well, that was the other thing. Raekwon, did you hear him say the thing?
What?
He said the thing. He did the Will Smith damn twice.
Damn. Yeah, he did. I do remember that. At the end.
I made a note because I want to make the episode art for this episode Kendrick Lamar's album, Damn, but it's just Will Smith instead. But he said the thing.
Yeah, he did say that. He said it a couple times, but I do remember him saying it where the camera was on him. It was like a close-up of him at the end when his boot knife broke. He's like, damn. Then the camera was like right on his face. Shit was like, yo, that's every like his thing now.
I also associate it with you because in Fishbowl, we had you play like a Will Smith fan in an episode. Mm-hmm. And then there was this one scene where April punches me out and I'm on the ground and you're just watching me just writhe in pain. And you're like, damn.
I remember that.
Literally wearing a Will Smith shirt.
Yeah. I do remember that. I was just about to ask which one. I was like, oh, shit, I do remember that line.
Yeah. So good. Mm. The thing is, this movie had so much potential. It could have been decent. I don't think it would have been ever great, but like little things could have moved it. You make Gordon and Jim work to be friends more. They tapped into it at the end, but maybe the reshoots fucked it up. But I realized halfway through this movie that Lovelace, the reason he is such a dangerous villain is because he is as quick he's as quick to violence as Jim. Mm-hmm. And he is as ingenious as Gordon is. And that's what makes him dangerous. It's fire and ice working together, you know? And what do you get when you put fire and ice together? You get warm water, baby. To quote New Girl. Warm water, baby! But, like, you know, you get warm water. And the reason that Gordon and Jim are able to, like, hit up to his level by the end of the movie is because they do just that. They use the ingenuity to build an airplane. And then they use the airplane not to be stealthy, but to just literally fly in with like fucking like Molotov cocktails.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of doing it already, but I just want to ask you guys so we can have an answer to this. What do you think? You said it, Nick. Is there anything else you guys think would make this movie better? Because I personally, it seemed like mine has like two answers because I feel like with Jim had a really, they made Will Smith, because it's Will Smith, he's like the main character, right? But yeah, they both of them are supposed to sort of be like the main character, like just co-stars, like, you know?
Yeah.
But if you're going to make Jim the main character, then you have to make us like him more, like give us a reason to be invested in him as a character, other than him just saying like, oh yeah, my parents were killed and I was raised by the engines and all this shit like that. We need a little more than that. Cause
you can't do the Batman. I was a boy, but now I'm a bat. You mean to quote, I think it's Pete Holmes did that like as a sketch.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was a boy. Now I'm a bat. You know,
yeah, I think that the characters need more like development and like depth to actually feel like, all right, I'm invested in these buddies. Like it felt very rushed. It felt like, yeah, I went through all this shit. Now I'm here. And you don't really see the implications. And also, I felt like Gordon himself also didn't really have a good background build up. It's basically the characters feel more like a caricature.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm totally with you on that. And I think I even said it to you last night, Sierra, like the perfect moment to have done something like that. Besides, cut Salma Hayek, just cut her out of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, it's the 90s. We need sex appeal, whatever, you perverts. But like, get it somewhere else. You already had that like Mae East character. So don't kill her off. Have her around for another few scenes, or don't just like you put in a blatant ass shot. That's enough sex for the audience. God damn it. You know, but like the beginning of the movie, the beginning of any good movie should tell you something about these characters. And it does, kind of. Like, we learn that Jim West is a cowboy by every stretch of the word. He's a swashbuckling hero that can fight dudes while he's naked. And then, weirdly enough, he fights all of those guys naked. And then he goes to get dressed. And while he's getting dressed, they are all waiting for him. Like, they only start attacking him after he's, like, halfway dressed. And then they do it one at a time. It's weird. Mm-hmm. We learn that Gordon is a clever guy. He wears disguises. He fights indirectly. He doesn't throw a punch in this movie. He dodges and he uses the boxing glove contraption. Cool. That is solid screenwriting, actually. We need to know why we should care about them, though. And we need to know where they're going in the movie. You know what I mean? We need to understand these things. And the beginning of the movie should have been like just a bit more of that. It just sort of ends. The beginning scene literally just ends with the bar exploding with them in it.
Yeah. Oh my God. I didn't write that down, but that was so weird. I watched it. I didn't watch the whole thing twice. I watched it once last night and then I started it over this morning. And
yeah,
they do the one thing that I did like where Loveless's people, he has the girl looking at them and she's reading their lips. It's like U.S. Marshal, U.S. Navy, whatever. I thought that was cool. And then like the bar explodes and then that's it. They cut to Jim going to the White House to meet up with the president. What the hell? Like what? So there's a lot of weird stuff, but that was pretty fucking weird. Like what are we supposed to make of that? Did they get hurt? Did they made it out? Clearly.
Yeah.
But like it's pretty chaotic.
It literally just does that opening because it needs a big explosive ending to the opening scene. But we don't learn anything about them. Like, OK, Bloodbath gets away. They failed. This is their quest for the first third of the movie. But like, you know, it didn't land for me.
I felt like one thing that I really felt watching this movie was kind of like it tried to do multiple things, but didn't do any of them particularly well. And I explain that by saying, well, like Raekwon said, the costume design was phenomenal. The makeup was also very striking. And it gave like some hand to like feeling like a fever dream at points. But in things like that, where you go for aesthetic over storytelling, then you might want to stick with that. And it felt like it just couldn't make up its mind what it was or what it was aiming for.
Yeah, and I guess like part of my thing is I always try to make movies smarter than they are. That's just my fatal flaw. But like, it could have been a big dumb action movie, or it could have been a comedy. It could have been a decent action comedy. But yeah, the way it lands, it's like, oh, it's trying to be this sexy steampunk action comedy western. And it's like, oh, too many things, dude. Like, you got to take something out.
Yeah, like it seems like it's
I think they could have taken the sexy out.
Yeah, they could have taken the sexy out because it wasn't very sexy either.
Yeah, it seems like you know what I mean? Was like going between like, all right, we're here for the aesthetic. No, we're here for the comedy. No drama explosions. And it's like, it it felt too much all over the place, because even if it had just purely focused on aesthetics, like, at least that's a vibe, not like an existential crisis.
I think it's interesting. It definitely has the fingerprints of, oh, we've been trying to make this movie for like 7 or 8 years, yeah. just written all over it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm curious how like a Shane Black Wild Wild West would have gone. I'm assuming it would have been a lot more character driven, and I would have been here for it. As is, kind of a mess. It's kind of fun. It has its moments, but, you know, it just doesn't make sense. I do have some extra trivia about this movie, if you guys are curious, though.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay. So first off, Loveless is actually from the show. He wasn't a man in a wheelchair. He was actually a little person, and he has a different first name, and he wasn't a Confederate. But Loveless is, in fact, from Wild Wild West, the TV show, originally. Everything about him was different, but the name is there, which is interesting. Kind of strange, but, you know, interesting. Something else that is worth mentioning is this movie very distinctly Paramount. Okay. There were several news reports in 1999 because this opened at around the same time that the South Park movie opened, and it was PG-13. And apparently kids would buy tickets to watch Wild Wild West and never went to the movie. They just went to South Park instead. It was sort of like that. What's that horrible movie that came out over the summer? That like generic conservative action, The Sound of Silence or whatever, Sound of Freedom.
Something like that.
Where screenings of like Wild Wild West played to like empty auditoriums, only instead of it being like sort of people gaming the system so that it was at the top of the box office, it was kids going to try and watch Cartman and the gang say fuck for 2 hours, you know? Which is crazy.
Yeah, that's funny. I saw that too, and I was like, damn, I hadn't heard about that until I read it earlier today. That's insane to me.
It's a weird piece of movie history. Yeah. Another weird piece of movie history, the train in this movie is a real locomotive from the 1800s. Back then, they would just restore the engines for these things and use them as props. So not only was this one a train from the 1800s, the original train from Wild Wild West was also an old one, and they were both used in the same movie. They were used in I think it was called like The Great Locomotive Chase, which is a Disney movie from the 50s. Hmm. So they are co-stars in their own weird way.
That's cool. I do remember thinking that the train was kind of like nice looking on the outside and the inside.
I would have thought they would have made a prop or a miniature, but no, they just got an actual vintage locomotive and fixed it up.
Speaking of the train, so I'm a Will Smith fan, and for this movie to be like a comedy, you know, for it to pass as that, I always thought that it should be like just letting Will Smith do his like thing. And there were just a couple moments where he did kind of do his thing with the dams. And one in particular, speaking of the train, was when Gordon had like this trap set up where if you got on the back of the train, like at the end of it, that it would catapult you into a seat inside.
Yeah.
And Salma Hayek's character sneaks on the train and she just randomly like pops into the seat, and you see Will Smith's character, like, cause he's in the background, Gordon's in the back, like cooking, talking shit about like her body or whatever.
he's just being a simp.
Yeah. And Will Smith's just sitting there like making a face. And I was like, okay, that's pretty funny. Like, but there wasn't enough of that, I think, for it to be like a straight up and down, this is an action comedy. It was kind of just like we all have said, is like a little bit of everything, but not doing one thing well at all. Just a lot going on. And the ending was bad.
The ending was a fucking mess, which I have another piece of trivia. While they were filming this movie, so the spider, right? The spider we've been talking. First off, it changes sizes throughout the whole, like every scene it's in. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't notice that.
It goes from being 100 fucking feet tall to like 50, depending on where the camera is. And it is jarring as hell. But more than that, obviously CG, not bad, like of all, you know, the CG is aged better on the spider than you'd think it would have. But what really fucked with me was there's a scene where they're like piloting it through a town and they're blowing it up because Lovelace is trying to intimidate Ulysses S. Grant into surrendering the Union.
Yeah.
And they are actually blowing up, you know, buildings in this town. Like they've made, I think it was like a real town or something other. And they're actually blowing shit up. And guess what? They lost control of the fire and they quickly, like the fire crews that were nearby got overwhelmed. So most of that town actually got burnt to a crisp.
Damn, what?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, here we go. This is from the Wikipedia. Much of the Wild West footage was shot around Santa Fe, New Mexico, particularly at the Western Town film set at the Cook Movie Ranch, now Cerro Pelon Ranch. During the filming of a sequence involving stunts and pyrotechnics, I'm assuming it's when the spider's blowing the town up, a planned building fire grew out of control and was quickly overwhelmed the local fire crews. Much of the town was destroyed.
Damn.
My guys straight up destroyed a town to make Wild Wild West.
Was it worth it?
Every second of it. Are you kidding me? I was complimenting the fires to Sierra in this movie. I was like, this has this like crisp 90s. We shot this on film saturation. Like it just looks so much better than CG fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So yeah, sorry to everyone at that ranch, but it looks good.
Mediocre movie. Sorry.
Yeah, it makes the mushy parts of my brain go, yay.
You know that meme where Bart Simpson is holding a cake and he would put whatever they want on the cake? Yeah, at least you tried. I have it saved in my phone for Game of Thrones. Sorry, your dragon show sucked. He's like, sorry, we blew up your town.
Oh, my God. It's just I'm like actually at a loss for words with this movie. Also, speaking of the title, you just reminded me. Do you know what the tagline for this piece of shit was?
It's Wiki Wow Wow.
I wish. Read the Wikipedia page for Wild Wild West. It's Wiki Wild Wild. Anyway, no, the tagline for Wild Wild West was, it doesn't get any wilder than this. That is the best they could come up with.
That's pretty wild.
Dude, the intern that wrote that fucking put his legs up on the counter and fired a bong off. He was like, fuck this. No one's seeing the movie anyway. It doesn't get wilder than this.
That's
nailed it.
That's just lazy. Yeah. That's just lazy.
Like Wiki Wild is at least funny.
Yeah, right. And it's like that song is a pretty popular Will Smith song as far as Will Smith songs go.
Yeah.
I think that's one of his bangers, right?
I consider it one.
Fine. That would have been fine to use, I think. It's Wiki Wild Wild or some shit, or it's anything. Other than it doesn't get much wilder than this. Like,
yeah,
that sounds so bad.
Or like you could have leaned into the fact that it's Will Smith. You could have literally gone the Fresh Prince ... of federal marshals, you know, or some like you can do better than it ain't getting wilder than this. that you know what that belongs in? That belongs in like an 80s party movie in the trailer. Well, it doesn't get wilder than this. And then you have a record scratch and somebody jumps into the pool from the roof. That's, you know, that's where that belongs.
Well, I didn't say it. I've been complaining about, I mean, we all want Salma Hayek's character cut out of the movie. But in the end, when she reveals her last truth, that the scientist that she was looking for all along wasn't in fact her father, but that it was her husband. I was just like, who the fuck cares? Like, who cares? you like weren't in the movie at all. It's like, and her husband comes up. He's like, oh, we must go because they're both trying to like get her to go back with them. She's like, oh, sorry. Like, the scientist was my husband all along. He's like, you haven't even been here. Like, who cares? Like,
who the fuck are you? They should have cut Salma Hayek from the whole movie, but just left that one scene there. You know. Oh, I haven't been entirely honest with you. Jim's just like, who the fuck are you?
So do you know her?
Gordon, do you know? I don't know. And suddenly I'm David Lynch.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, okay, well, they save the day, I guess. They save the day. They rescue the president.
I guess. Nobody. You're so begrudging. You're just like, I don't fucking know,
man. Did they really save the day?
Did they?
Kinda. The robot, they kept the spider robot. They wrote
they kept the spider
sunset.
Robot, yeah. Which I thought, like, look, if you're going to have a giant, stupid, mechanical spider robot, yeah, okay, that's fine. That's a good ending shot if you're going to do that. But, yeah, I guess they save the day. The president is still the president. My question is, it leaves so many questions. Like, they're presumably going back to Washington with this giant spider.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when they get to, like, Minneapolis or just, like, some random-ass city?
So they're going to be like, there's a Negro and a man up there on that giant spider. I don't know what's going on.
Somebody just says Godzilla for the first time. They don't know what it means. They just know it feels right to say it at that moment, you know, or King Kong. They just like they're going through like Nashville, Tennessee, and King Kong is there. And he's like, oh, giant spider, better go fight it because I'm King Kong. Because they're famously cut scene from King Kong.
You guys know that meme where it's like, oh, this would have 100% killed a Victorian child. I think that them seeing a black man and a white man on a giant mechanical spider, that would have
killed an 1800s
child. It's not
even the spider. It's the fact that like segregation doesn't exist for these two people.
They're like,
they're just like, oh my God. You just hear like monster music start playing and they're pointing. It's just close ups of them hanging out.
They called him a few times in the movie. They called him a dark stranger. Like,
yeah.
Like, oh, thank you, dark stranger. I was like, yo, they're actually, though, it kind of checks out. I mean, time period and everything. But there isn't another black person in the entire movie besides Will Smith.
The woman in the bath with him at the beginning. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, except her. But besides her, yeah, that's it.
Well, but you know, the movie was like weirdly, like the movie was actually kind of diverse at the same time. Like they had an Asian person and they had like a Spanish person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true.
Two black people, one Asian and a whole bunch of white people. That's about it.
Sounds like any corporate company hitting those quotas.
That's the tagline of the movie. Right? It's two black people, one Asian person, and a whole bunch of white people, parentheses, wild, exclamation point.
This shit is crazy.
This shit is wild. Yeah, I'm just at a loss. There's one thing I wanted to ask you, Raekwon, because Sierra and I couldn't figure it out. The scene where the movie devolves into Game of Death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have the guy with the knives for hands, whatever. We have the guy who does karate or a martial art.
Mm.
Then we have like Lobo the Giant over there, the giant metal man, the Iron Man, if you will. Yeah. What the fuck killed him?
I don't know. I don't know either because I saw that so Will Smith, basically he gets not back into a corner, back into almost falling off of the back of the spider. Right.
Yeah.
And he's hitting him with the shovel and then he hands him the shovel and then he falls over. Does the shovel get like magnetically?
Thought. Like it just short circuits his brain or something.
What? I don't know. Honestly, I can't believe I didn't write that down. But yeah, I don't know either. Cause that confused me. I thought he just fell over or something. I was kind of half watching at that point, but it was like, I don't know. I might rewatch the ending just to see what killed him.
Let's just call Barry Sonnenfeld up and ask just straight up. Yeah, I'm sure he wouldn't mind. He's not doing anything. He directed Wild Wild West. Like, I say it with love again. Like I like Men in Black one. I like all of the Men in Black movies, even Men in Black 2, which a lot of people hate, but yeah, just a crazy movie. Also, I meant to say this a lot earlier, but I'll say it now. Wild Wild West is to Men in Black what Shanghai Noon is to Rush Hour. They're like kind of the same movies.
Yeah. I was gonna say Shanghai Noon is kind of like Wild Wild West, but I think I would rather watch Shanghai Noon than
Sierra. Straight up asked if we could watch Shanghai Noon while we were watching Wild Wild West.
Yeah, like I don't know how long into the movie, but I'm like, we should have watched Shanghai Noon, Nick.
It was like 15 minutes in, hon. Like literally 15 minutes in. I think you saw Gordon dressed like Ulysses S. Grant in the White House, and you're like, can we just watch Shanghai Noon instead? You know,
we've done Shanghai Noon.
We have. That's why we didn't. I was like, we could do the sequel. We could also do it again. It's been 2-3 years, you know,
since Shanghai Noon.
It's been 4 years. Whoa. We did it in 2019.
I was on that episode.
That was your first episode as a co-host, I think. That or the Addams Family was. It was one of them.
I think Shanghai Noon may have been the first one.
Yeah.
Because I think Addams Family, too. We shot that one at your place in Jersey City.
Yeah. Yeah. So they're the same movie, though. Like, I wrote this out, so it actually makes sense. So, okay. This movie is as much Men in Black as Shanghai Noon was Rush Hour, a Wild West revamp of a movie that came out and did gangbusters in 1997. Bad person wants something surrendered to him, land versus the literal universe, and it's up to the fast-talking law enforcer to work with a clever, tech-savvy veteran of his craft to save the day. Hell, Gordon's bike is even armed with turbo like the car in Men in Black. They're the same fucking movie.
Damn.
Yeah.
It follows the formula for sure.
It follows the formula, had the same director, but none of the charm. It goes to show, like, if you don't have a good script, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So does anyone else have any closing thoughts on Wild Wild West, Wiki Wild Wild West?
Wiki Wild Wild. I think that you should just watch the music video for the song and that's it. You don't have to watch. I mean, this movie, I'm not hating on the movie. I am hating on it.
You
but
are
actually,
a little bit.
I
How
like
dare
the
you.
Movie, though. Like,
Will
I
Smith
have,
poured his blood and guts into this. And you're just like, yeah, it ain't for me.
Yeah, he should have just did The Matrix. That's my closing thought.
He should have just done The Matrix. No. You really, do you recommend the movie to people at all? Or?
I mean, it is fun. It's a movie where you can't go into it trying to be like highly critical of it. Like we're reviewing it, but like, if you just want to watch a fun movie, I think one of the reviews that I read for it was like, it's a summer escapism type of movie. Just turn it on and watch it. Like, it's fine. And I'd recommend it if you just want to watch something good. Will Smith in his prime. That's pretty much the only reason to watch it.
Probably the worst example of his prime, but yes, it is Will Smith and he is in definitely. His prime. It's kind of like one. Like, yeah, one is technically a prime number, but it's like the single worst example of one you could have picked. I'm with you on that. Like, I'm going to get weirdly specific with my movie recommendations from now on. I think that it is a solid, I am either homesick and fading in and out of consciousness movie, or I need to fold my laundry and I can't do it in silence because then the bad thoughts come back. That's what Wild Wild West is. It is so stupid and not in the fun way, but it's also just fun enough to where I'm like, I think people overly hate on it.
I basically think that it's kind of like the I've left the TV on during the day and this is now on TBS for some reason. I'm just going to let it play the background kind of movie.
Yeah.
For me, I would say that if you're a fan of, well, bad movies, I think it's worth a watch. You just want something to kind of laugh at or be confused by. But also, in my case, it was nostalgia for me because I'd seen it when I was younger. But I feel like someone that's neither a fan of like hokey garbage or has nostalgia for the time period, they're probably not going to see the appeal in this movie. So I feel like it's come into it with like take it with a grain of salt. Like if you come into it.
When you say a grain of salt, can I just like ad hoc? Like adjust that to be like a giant slab of salt, like literally just something that you just like you would need like 12 men to carry
a whole ass salt lick.
Just a whole ass salt lick, you know, that is what you need going into this. This movie doesn't work. I enjoyed watching it. It was very fun for all the wrong reasons. The song is delightful in its 90s cheesiness. And like Raekwon started to say, I would probably recommend the music video over this. I haven't seen the music video and I'm recommending it over this because I can only assume it's one of those old ass music videos where they like show clips from the movie out of context. So it's just Will Smith rapping and then it cuts to like exciting clips from the movie and the woman's bare ass shot. And like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. He's wearing his costume, but it's like all white.
I would third that. Just if you want the vibe of this movie, but you don't want to sit for almost 2 hours watching this. This
is it
clearly
that long?
Gorgeous masterpiece. 1 hour and 40 something.
Jesus Christ.
Then I would suggest just like take the spark notes, watch the video, like watch the music video, enjoy that, and just move on with your life, probably.
I'm with you on that. I think 100%. Yeah, you just do that because this movie doesn't work. Anyway, we're back, guys. Chewie, we're home. we're back. I don't know how often we'll do this. Maybe once a month. One thing that I was toying with was us maybe doing some truly classic films, like some good movies every so often, or maybe making it a segment. We'll see what happens there. But right now, entering the Coliseum, we have Sierra and Raekwon, because you two have to fight over who picks our next episode, whenever that is.
Are we fighting right now?
Right now. Right fucking now. I have popcorn.
It's time to wrestle.
Wait.
Well, we're waiting.
I'm going to break this bottle.
Just imagine the Coliseum music from Star Trek like starts playing. It's like Kirk versus that one alien.
I honestly don't want to pick the next one.
Oh, okay. I guess Sierra, it's up to you.
Because I have a lot of ideas. I'm kidding.
She does. For the past year, we've just been talking about like, oh, we should do this on the podcast.
Mm-hmm. No, seriously, you can pick whatever you want to. I'm not going to like, we love you, Raekwon. We all love you.
Raekwon.
I love you guys too. Look
at it this. Oh my God. I think my heart just started beating.
it just started.
Started beating.
Yeah. It's been before.
Frothed over for years.
You've been dead the entirety Raekwon. Of our relationship. Raekwon revived you.
Yeah, but unrelated to our relationship. That's been the life support. See how I turned that around? She feels bad now. She's good. Like, damn, I was going to pick on you. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I know you were going to pick on me. I picked on you back. That means you have to pick episode 100. So good luck with that.
Ooh, okay.
Because this was 98.
I'll accept this responsibility. It's going to be a good one, too. He's going to pick
something. Yeah, really fucked up, I'm sure. Yeah. Hey, we could. Anyway, so that brings us to the end of the episode. We do hope you enjoyed it. If you have recommendations for shit in the future, anything, you drop us a line, however you do that. I don't know how you'll do that. I'm in the middle of like changing my Twitter, so.
Oh, hold on. Before we close the show.
Okay.
Can I say something real quick?
Is it going to be off the cuff? Is it going to be unchained?
It's something. I told you about this. I think I might. Yeah, I told you. I thought I put in the group chat, but shout out to the one fan that I got from this show.
No, you got to explain the whole story.
Okay. All right. So I kept seeing that I don't get a lot of like random people that view my story, except for those bot accounts that are like, don't look at my story. Don't click the link in my bio. So one
of the bot accounts, that profile picture is just the ass shot from this movie.
Yeah, right. So I kept seeing this one account that was looking at my stories, and I didn't know who it was. They were following me, but whenever I tried to follow them back, they never accepted my request. So I was like, okay, who the fuck is this person? And I thought it was somebody's like spam account because they had a bunch of posts.
Sure.
So one day, finally, I think I was just having a bad day. The account was looking at my story, and I was like, I had DM'd it previously, like, oh, who's this or whatever. And I DM'd it like, yo, who is this? Like, kind of aggressive, like, who is this? I keep trying to follow you to see who you are, and you don't accept my request. Like, what's going on?
You even said it. I'm sure in the text, it even was parenthesized aggressively.
Yeah, right. with mean intent. But the person replied and was like, oh, my bad. Like, I was just a fan of the show. I listened to Media Obscura, and I also used to listen to your podcast when you had one. And I was like, dude, I'm sorry. Like, I had no idea. Like, why didn't you? I didn't blame him in the moment. But I was like, what the fuck? Like, why didn't you just accept my request to follow you like months ago? Or, no, this is like over a year of like this happening. So, oh, sorry. My God. Shout out to you. I appreciate you. We all appreciate and love you. Where you're getting a shout out on the show. I don't have your at anymore because you unfollowed me because of our exchange. So,
I just imagine your response to when he told you that. You're like, you know, when you're walking through your house, you accidentally like bump into your puppy or your cat a little bit and they look at you like, how could you? Mm-hmm. I imagine that's your response was sort of like, oh no, I'm so sorry.
I was super sincere. I was like, dude, I'm sorry. I was like, it seems like I was being all like aggressive or anything, but I didn't know who you were and whatever. It's like,
you became Anakin falling to his knees after Palpatine killed everybody. And he's like, what have I done?
No.
What do you think James Earl Jones's note was when he got that line of dialogue? You have three sentences in this movie and one of them is literally fucking no with like 12 zero. Yeah.
So yeah, sorry dude, or whatever you are. I don't know. Thank you. Because you wouldn't let me follow you. I apologize. Shouting you out here. Hopefully this is like some good that I'm doing right now. I would say your
it's
at name.
It's too late. He's already become Jason Lee in The Incredibles. That one shot of him pulling down the picture of Mr. Incredible.
Please come back. We need you.
Yeah, we want you back. Please come back. I apologize for my rudeness.
If I can make, if on the off chance that he follows me on a Twitter or on the Media Obscura Instagram, I will make this the clip for the episode.
Okay, please.
But it's gonna be a loop of Jason Lee pulling the picture of Mr. Incredible down. But it's you.
Just also like maybe put that song in that please don't go.
I'm sorry, man. I'll search my IG DMs for his at, but bad.
Can we rename instead of damn or whatever we were gonna name this episode, can it be renamed Missed Connections? Whatever that Craigslist was like, you know what I'm talking about? There was like a Craigslist back in the day where when people would like meet a stranger at the park and they wouldn't get their name, there'd be like missed connections. And it's like, oh, I met you at Central Park on such and such. You were wearing a blue blazer. You called me the N-word, which was offensive, but we had like a really good conversation after. Just want to talk.
I felt like we had a connection.
Comma, N-word aside. And the person posting it is actually just like holding a baseball bat. And he's like, let's have a chat.
Yeah.
But let's talk. I want to name the episode Wild Wild West and then in parentheses Missed Connections.
Yeah, my fault.
Or that time Raekwon harassed a fan.
I didn't harass him.
I know you didn't harass him, but yellow journalism dictates that we get clicks if we say you did. Quick, call him an asshole.
All right, asshole. My bad again. It's my fault. That was completely unintentional. I didn't mean to be so rude. I'm from the East Coast. That's my only excuse. Okay, that's it.
And now when you get canceled for calling him an asshole, we can do like an Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis apology video.
Oh, yeah.
Well, three of us just appearing in a video looking like shit. Like we are so sorry. Like deliberately looking like shit. Like they woke up looking the way they normally do. And they had to literally put on makeup to look bad.
Yeah, that could be if that's a clip for the episode. And if I find this guy's at, I'll make an apology video. I'll just shout him out real quick. But yeah,
you have like white walls. You have white walls behind you. Could you just like literally do it with a webcam and just like nothing but white wall? The most unflattering light imaginable. Like
this close to the camera?
No. It'd be like obnoxiously far away from it, if anything. And then just like when you're starting, do I have glasses near me? I don't. But when you start, you just stand there. You're just like... Take the glasses off. You wipe them.
I'll take out a piece of paper that I'm like had in my pocket, unfolded. Like
Webster's dictionary defines sorry. Anyway, That's the episode, everybody. We do hope you enjoyed it. Raekwon is truly sorry. He still thinks you're an asshole because we need the clicks, but he is sorry.
Yeah, fuck you.
So,
just kidding. Just kidding.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that just happened. So, yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.